Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Once the ball that gets to Reeves. Reeves with five, with four, guarded by Wiggins. Reeves takes a drive left side, drives and gets a layup with 1 second to go in the game. Curry in the backcourt gets it off, but I don't think it was in time. And somehow the Warriors give up a layup with 1 second to go to lose. 115-113 the final.
Bay Area, it's Andrew Wiggins. Catch my head coach, Steve Kerr, with Willard and Dibbs each and every week right here on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, Andrew, how about playing a little defense?
Andrew, how you feeling?
We're streaming live on Twitch and YouTube. Head to twitch.tv/95.7 The Game and youtube.com/95.7 The Game to watch us live. And if anyone swears, you get to hear it. Subscribe to the channel for all 95.7 The Game content on Twitch and YouTube. And make sure to hit the thumbs up button on YouTube if you like the show, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. You ever swear on the air? I know you've done some TV and obviously the man on radio.
I don't think so.
Oh, yeah, you're pretty, you know
pretty,
what? Yeah, you're a pretty clean guy,
I'm
man.
I'm not a big swear. I don't.
Yeah.
I very rarely do I even cuss, period. Even when I'm mad, I don't. I'm not a huge fan of it.
Even playing,
yeah. When I was playing, yeah. What? I mean, just words. I don't. I never thought it was. It helped me. My anger. I just more tell you shut up.
Yeah, you're a centered man. I can recognize that about you.
I don't know if I'm centered, but I just.
Well, there's a very sort of you have a spirit about you that you're good in your own skin. You're not peeking around any corners.
Yeah, you know why? Because I think when you're the size that I have and what you did, it's very easy to be. People to mistake you as hey, he's a violent guy, and if you can overpower people and do certain things. So there's a perception and not reality. So at times you do have to make sure that, hey, look, I want to make sure that you're respecting that in that sense. So that's why one of the reasons that I've always kind of been mild-mannered, because I can be intimidating, I can imagine people. And so that's why I try to make sure that I just, you know, keep it above board.
Well, I've never sworn on the air, but I've had laughing attacks.
In fact, oh, yeah.
When I was on the air out in Seattle, I had a co-anchor. I couldn't look at him.
Really?
He would toss to me for sports, and I would hyperventilate. I could not get out. Seriously, I had a five-minute sportscast, and all you could hear me was snorting and giggling.
Was he that ugly, or did he have a weird look?
You know, one of those things that, and when you're younger, maybe I was a little more immature in my day, but it hit that funny bone, and I would just come unglued. And I called my agent. I remember I'm like, you got to get me out of here. I can't work next to this guy for the next 4 years. Like, I can't get through a sportscast. He makes me laugh so hard just looking at him. And then the guy I was laughing at would start to laugh, and it was just.
Oh, you two just start laughing together?
Chaos. Yeah,
that's crazy.
And my news directors, well, it was news. It was straight up news, like, you know, three dead today in Chicago. And here we are giggling. And it was the news director called this in one day and just said, look, it was fun the first couple of times. You have to stop this. You got to, like, you know.
Get a hold of yourself.
Producers were working on a show all day, and you're laughing your ass off through the whole thing. And I was like, I know, but the more serious it becomes, the more
you want to laugh.
It was bad stuff. All right, we're talking about the Golden State Warriors. Somehow, some way, it was Austin Reeves that got to the hoop. It looked so easy. This is like a layup. Right. Game's over. Let's go home. And it erased everything that Stephen Curry and another amazing performance by Steph after the game he had against Indiana, where a lot of people are saying, you know, he's soon to be 37. I don't know how many times I've heard that. But he proved that he still got it. He can still do it. Maybe not as consistently as he once did, but it's still there. And then just to see it end that way, look, it, you know, tip your hat. Austin Reeves made a good move, but there seems as though there should have been more to it in terms of a help defender, something other than a layup. Thanks for coming. Good night, everybody. Let's open up the phone lines. 888-957-9570. We'll start things with Mike out in San Leandro. And he wants to point a finger at somebody. Mike, what's going on, buddy?
Yeah, you know, Wiggins let him go, but the biggest problem there was Kuminga should have been help side, and he was face guarding Hachimura, who was standing out of bounds. If you look at the replay, that never should have happened, regardless of what Wiggins did. Kuminga was minus 17 last night. I'm tired of the Kuminga experiment. He doesn't have a basketball IQ. He's a hell of an athlete, no IQ. And I was also thinking this season's in the crapper anyway. Why don't we do something looking for next year, like trade for, if he's available, Zion. He's injured. Maybe Celebrini can work miracles with him, and next year we can have a real team, depending on who you have to give up for him. But, yeah, Kuminga, minus 17. That's why we lost the game, not because Wiggins gave up a layup.
Good call, Mike. You had me until Zion Williamson.
He's a headache? Too fat? Well, too big? What?
Listen, Celebrini is good at what he does, maybe the best in the NBA, but not a miracle worker.
Right.
I mean, this guy was hurt in high school.
Yeah.
He was hurt in college. He was hurt in his first NBA game. Yeah. He's not available. He's just one of those guys.
He doesn't love it.
No, he when he plays, he's a dominant player. But you know guys like this, his body, it's just not suited for playing in the NBA.
Has he ever really gotten the weight under control? And that's the thing. You look at his eating habits and those things you hear about Zion. Like you said, he's talented. He's a hell of an athlete. Totally agree with you there. But when you don't put in the time in your body, you're going to break down. You're too big. If you're carrying extra weight, the athletic ability, when you're that big and you're carrying that type of weight and you don't work hard, you're going to break down.
You know what also does not help and also maybe contributes is the fact that, and you can relate to this, he plays in New Orleans,
baby. That good eating, that red beans and rice, all that good
deep fried water out there, man. Everything's getting deep fried
water. I love it.
I mean, that does not hurt when you're trying to, you know, you're trying to slim down and you're living out there in New Orleans. But no, I don't think you necessarily have to. Maybe stranger things have happened, but he's a lot of money, first of all, Mike in San Leandro. And secondly, it's not like he's not available a lot of the time or part of the time. He's never. And this goes back to his days at Duke. This goes back to high school. And sometimes you just look at the body type. And I don't know, if he loses all that weight, is he the same player?
Well, I think not necessarily lose it all. You kill hole it, but at least you'd be in better shape. Physically, your muscles and ligaments and everything else is be stronger. So now it's just not getting by on athletic ability. You strengthen the tendons and the ligaments because you put the proper weight training to make sure your body is durable and pliable enough to be able to sustain. That's what I don't think is there. Because if you brought him here, now you could have a guy that could go down in the paint and demand a double team because you couldn't single up. Now you kick the ball out to Steph, and now Steph can, you know, Steph could be Steph. But you don't have a premier scorer like that can, the mid-range jumper that's too big, too physical, can back guys down, do that. He would be a huge asset for this team. But like you said, his durability, availability is just not there.
You know the great Ray Ratto, right?
Yeah,
absolute legend. I remember I wasn't even working in this market, but I would come here because I'm from San Francisco visiting family. And I remember I was driving around one day, and I remember Ratto said this back in the day when Tiger Woods was Tiger Woods, when it was Sunday, Tiger Woods, get out of the way. He owned the PGA. And he said this in his prime. This is why Ray Rada was the greatest as far as I'm concerned. He said, there is so much torque on that dude's swing. He's so violent with that swing. And as dominant as he is right now, that's a recipe for back disaster. And I don't know if that guy's going to have longevity in this sport. Something I'm paraphrasing here. But he pointed out that that is something to keep an eye on, is the fact that this guy and his body and the way he plays is not going to be the backside of his career. It's going to be under the knife, or it's not going to be where it's at today. And he couldn't have been more spot on. I mean, we thought that he was on target to win. You know, he was going to eclipse the Golden Bear. I mean, it was all about Tiger back in the day. But, you know, he got derailed because of the injuries, and exactly what it was that Ray Rado pointed out. And the reason I went down that road is because Zion, you could see the same thing early on in his career. Like, he was an amazing basketball player and so dominant and so fun, so big and strong. But the way he played was so violent, and there was so much pressure in those lower extremities. Mm. And then you look at his body type. Remember, he blew out a shoe. I've never seen that. His shoe exploded at Duke. It, like, shattered.
But Tiger worked harder than him. Tiger, and Tiger's knee, I don't know if it was the back that you can put it all in the back. That knee was in bad, horrible shape. Tiger's knee, I think more so than the back. But you got to realize, these are two different guys that took they played at a high level, but Tiger took his sport a lot more serious, and he did the things that he needed to. And what comes out of New Orleans is Zion doing the things that he needs to do as a pro. And when he plays, absolutely, the guy can play, like you said. But is he doing those other things to strengthen his body, to make himself able to have sustainability and to be able to last, or at least be able to play more consistent and more frequent and be more available than what he is for New Orleans?
Because Zion Williamson coming to the Golden State Warriors, it's not the first time we've heard it. He's still young and he's still attractive, but there's so much money, but there has to be a solution for the Warriors. And I think that, to Mike from San Leandro's point, that Jonathan Kuminga, and if you heard the crossover, this is sort of where I was at, that I'm becoming more of a guy, more of a proponent to move him. And I loved Jonathan Kuminga when he first came onto the scene. But I don't know that he'll ever get the other part of it. And the other part of it is, I actually think he's going to be a good three-point shooter, as ridiculous as that might sound today. I think he could improve on that. His free throw shooting could get better. But it's all those immeasurables, man. It's buying in defensively. And what happened last night, the fact that he didn't help defend, as Austin Reeves gets the baseline, and I don't know what the hell it was he was doing with Hachimura, out of bounds, and he was the closest defender to helping out. There's something amiss there, and maybe you learn to get better in that regard, but I think that Jonathan Kuminga, to me, is a trade piece. And I think if they don't trade him and we continue down this path, that's a huge miss on the part of the Warriors.
Right. I totally understand what you're saying. But it's a situation, is like, does Kerr believe he can save him? Do they have kid gloves on this guy? Are they putting enough on him? Are they pushing him enough? Did they just stick him into a starting role? Was he a guy that took it serious? Is it a guy that say, is he getting the extra in to make, you know, is there, are they going through those processes with this guy? And I think, you know, those are some of the things we could ask Kerr when he comes on, because athletically, it looks like this guy has it. But you heard the callers, hey, this guy's IQ, his football, basketball IQ is not there. So when you have that problem, guy doesn't rotate to the baseline to say, look, I'm gonna go trap this guy because now I'm going to have my hands up. He's not going to throw it over me. It's because the backboard's right there. I'm going to jump up. I'm going to be able to swat it. So he's going to have to kick the ball out. By that time, 2-1, the clock's done. You made that layup with 1 second remaining on the clock. He rotates and claps. Now you stop the dribble. He has to hold it. Now he's got to look for a pass, look for a cutter, or someone cutting through, or throw the ball out. So you have to do those things. Those are basic fundamentals in basketball.
We'll talk to Coach Kerr coming up tonight at 5:00, and we'll get into all of this. One of the things I want to ask, Coach, is what it is that you just laid out, is whether, and take Jonathan Kuminga out of the equation, whether players at a young age, because you can see them obviously improve offensively, defensively, how much more of a challenge is that for a coach to make sure that younger players improve defensively? Because, and this is where I want to hear from you, because you can bring it back to football. You know this from playing in the NFL, that defense, and it's true for the NBA, it's not about X's and O's on a chalkboard. It's buy-in. Mm. It's like either you got the dog or you don't. It's either a chromosome in your DNA, or oftentimes you're just not that guy. And can you learn? Is it a learned behavior? So just talk to me coming out of the NFL where you see good defenders and they were just born that way. It's like that dude is going to, if you've got the rock, he is going to scrape sideline to sideline and find you. And I think if you have to learn to play defense, isn't it that much more of a struggle? And can that even happen?
Yeah, it is a struggle because I remember playing, you know, when you're playing fullback and blocking for, you know, the great Eddie George or LaDainian, or just even early in career, Dalton Hilliard played for the Saints, LSU, great running back. And we would run lead draw. That means the lead draw, 42 lead or 43 lead, you know, once to the left, once to the right. And you run it and you take your draw step over. It looks like pass, the quarterback's dropping. And you wait for the hold because the guard is fanning out. He's fanning out and he's giving the guy an outside release for the defensive lineman is going to brush outside. So if they do that, but if the defensive end comes inside, he's kind of pinching it down. But if you just run in there, you'll run into darkness. And as sometimes you watch fullbacks, you watch guys, they're just like, oh, I got to go block my guy because you're supposed to block the Mike linebacker. And if the guard is covered in that three technique, takes him and take the inside shade, then that gap that you usually go through is plugged. But some guys just run into the pile, and now, boom, the running back runs to that B gap, and all of a sudden he's met by the linebacker because the fullback didn't bounce it and read it out. It's no different than when you're playing defense and defense or offense in basketball. Okay, God, I got a guy, but also he did something different than what I did. I got to, you know, when I see him cutting, I got to crash, stay in front of him, understand what they're trying to do. And that's what you're talking about, having that dog, having that instinct to say, look, okay, I know there's a cutter coming. Okay, I know I made that block, but I got to be aware there's a cutter. Or you know what, I'm going to be all in. I'm not going to let that pass come in because I know he's going to try to bounce that or try to throw it over my head. I know he can't throw it over my head because I got the backboard or I have something there. I know he's going to have to bounce that pass. So you got to anticipate. And that's what we're talking about, the basketball IQ, having have the intuition or anticipate where you know that they need to go with that ball. And that's, it doesn't change. Those things doesn't change that you know what the concept is, where they're going with the ball. And that's what we're talking about with Kuminga. Does he have that innate ability and that basketball IQ to be able to adjust in those type of situations?
This is according to Shams Charania today, the new insider when it comes to NBA nuggets and knowledge. The Warriors were hoping for a big development jump from Jonathan Kuminga or Brandon Podziemski to become a homegrown star. With the Golden State's duo not taking steps forward, they remain very active to find another star to pair alongside Steph Curry. And it just gets back to, is this an internal problem that starts with the Warriors in player development? Because it's one thing to get a young star with promise, but just like, you know, like anything else, you got to water that weed and you got to make sure that it flourishes and becomes, that potential comes to fruition. Have the Warriors done their part? Is there any culpability you think on the part of the Warriors and Steve Kerr specifically as far as the development and the growth of Jonathan Kuminga and or Brandon Podziemski?
You know, here it is again. You just don't know because you're not in those meetings, and I can't speculate, but I can tell you this. From what my experience in the NFL, if there's a guy that gets drafted in the first round, he can miss meetings, he could be late, he could do certain things, and guess what? They'd fine him, do certain things, but it's hard to cut him because your team is invested in him. Your team has too much invested. You saw what happened with Trey. You couldn't, even though you knew he wasn't going to be the guy the first year, you can't just cut him. You can't just move him. You can't just trade him. So you say, okay, so how do you get the best out of those guys? You saw it. Everyone saw it, the Raider fans. DeMarcus Russell, first pick, great court, supposed to be the savior of the franchise. What happened? They couldn't develop him. Why? Because they knew they couldn't move him. They knew they couldn't cut him. You had no trade value. You put all chips in on that particular player. And now you're looking at a guy like Kuminga. It's like, okay, I'm not comparing him to Marcus Russell. because I don't know his attitude. This guy looks, he could be hungry. He could be trying. He's effort guy. He wants to be good. But does he have it? Did they push him the right way? Are they saying, hey, look, we can't move this guy. We drafted him high. We can't trade him. Or you know what? We can't cut him. So sometimes is where you're slotted and where you're taken. The team can only do so much until it says, okay, his contract expired. Okay, we can get him off the books. It's third year. It's fourth year. We can go ahead and cut him. And it's not going to hurt us. But when you do that, though, you lost a transitional player. You lost a player that you thought was going to change your franchise. And so now you missed on that. So that those things, sometimes you can't recoup if the player is that bad and you can't get any value for him. So you can't recoup that.
Yeah, I think in the case of Jonathan Kuminga, that the is your cam not up? People want to see you, apparently.
Yeah, they're going to come in and fix it. Oh, okay. I'm ready to go. I got it. They want to see me. I got it. I got it pointing
no, you're
at
good.
Me. I got
fine.
It pointing at me. Get me dialed up.
We're locked in.
All right.
I mean, you are a box of chocolates, man. You are a good-looking man.
Well, all right. Thank you. Glad they want to see me.
I think Jonathan Kuminga is – I'm not putting that on the Warriors. It's been 4 years. There has been some consistency that I think Steve Kerr would admit to. Maybe he won't. I don't know. We can talk to him about it. But the yo-yoing in and out of the starting lineup, I think, has been a serious sort of issue. Just when it looked as though they were going to commit to Jonathan Kuminga as being the guy, and let's just see what we got, right? Right up until the trade deadline. Do we extend him? I don't know, but let's find out. When they moved him into the lineup, and he actually, you know, he leapfrogged Draymond Green, and now, once again, he's coming off the bench. So there's some, you know, I think Steve Kerr has opened the door there for some criticism.
Have you seen, when you look at Kuminga, when you're watching this guy, okay, his second, third year, do you see the effort? Do you see the effort there? That's the question. Or do you see, is it lack? Do you see lack of effort? Do you saying he doesn't have that dog? You say, okay, here's the game. See ball, get ball. Does he play reckless? And you say, man, this guy's diving on the floor like you're talking about dog. Does he have that, or is he just a finesse player? What do you see when you look at this guy's body of work?
I mean, I see a guy who is a tremendous athlete. The ability, the combination of strength and skill is rare, and he's got it. But I think that the template is already in place for the Warriors, and it's about titles. They don't get enamored. I mean, yeah, you love a guy who can score and tease you with athleticism. Every team does. But for the Warriors, and it's the reason why Jordan Poole, people go after me because I go after Jordan Poole, and I know there's a lot of Jordan Poole fans, and the reason why I don't think he stuck with the Warriors had nothing to do with Draymond Green, but it's the fact that he was not somebody that ever bought in defensively. And that's the issue I have with Jonathan Kuminga. Not me, forget about me, but I think management. And the reason why they're not sold on this guy is it's the little things. If he could be Brandon Podziemski defensively, like if he could be Brandon Podziemski in terms of making basketball plays, taking charges, getting rebounds to go along with what he's doing offensively, then you got the perfect player. But it's all the other stuff on the defensive side that I think gives people some pause. All right, phone lines are open, 888-957-9570. Leroy's hanging out in Oakland, wants to talk about Steph and what's going on with the Warriors. What's up, my man?
God bless you. Hi. How you guys doing?
We're good, buddy.
How you guys doing?
Legendary.
I'm doing okay. I'm sorry. I'm a big Warrior fan, guys. And, you know, I kind of felt like when Jordan Poole was here and we had to make that decision, you know, what would happen with Draymond and Jordan. I just was really hoping, and I love Draymond, but I was hoping that for the future – that we would have kind of hung on to Jordan Poole, and I would have loved to see him run alongside Stephen Curry. And I just think that, you know, we're kind of paying for it a little bit, not making a decision to keep him. And also, I just think that Kuminga's out of position. Like, I thought Kuminga was going to start at the two. I thought he was going to be alongside Steph Curry, but I have yet to see that happen. So these mistakes, right, that the Warriors seem to have made, coming back to bite them a little bit. That's just how I feel about it, guys.
No, I like it. It's good insight. I don't know about coming at the two, because one of the reasons why he can't play the three, or you'd have a hard time at the two, is that you got to shoot the three. Or at least you got to shoot a little bit better than what it is he's been able to do to this point in his career. All right. A reminder, we are presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. We see you, Cameron. We see the rest of the college. We got to go away for a little bit. Hang in there. We'll get right to your calls. We're talking about the Golden State Warriors and that loss as they have now lost. I want to say, is it 11 of the last 14?
Yeah.
11 of the last 14 after the 12-3 start. As the Warriors fall to the Los Angeles Lakers on Christmas Day, as Austin Reeves gets basically a buzzer beater to beat him. And we're trying to figure out how the heck that happened. We'll try and answer those questions and much more. It's Lorenzo Neal. It's Dan DeBone. We're back on 95.7 The Game after this.